Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
The last several services have been so mightily blessed by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit, that I've been somewhat overwhelmed, and it's new territory for me. Wednesday night, the glory of the Lord visited before I had an opportunity to teach the Bible study, and I was overwhelmed. Is it okay with you? Do you sometimes not have a clue? Is it all right with you? Sometimes I don't have a clue what to do next. I want to encourage you to, as Nate said real early in the service, engage your spirit, engage your mind. And you need to forget everything that's happening next week, right? And everything that happened last week, and just really focus. Do you know what I'm saying? Just really praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, sometimes you have to forget who's around you. And then just praise the Lord and open your mouth and worship and lift your hands and not be at all intimidated or inhibited by the people around you. If you know that's right, would you say amen? Amen. Just really focus. So what happens to me when I do that and I enter that place, Nate has talked about, other people have talked to you about, there's a place in your mind, a place in your spirit where you're focusing. We call it worship. You know, when there's nothing else on your mind, you just see him high and lifted up. And it brings something out of you that you didn't try to think about. You just start praising him because you see him as he really is. He's great. There's nothing he can't do. With God, nothing shall be impossible. It doesn't matter what you're worried about. It doesn't matter what you think about the future. God's got everything under control. And when you see that, something makes you want to go, well, praise the Lord. Why have I been worrying? Why have I been fretting? I know of impossible situations. I know things that have come over me. I'm telling you, one of the biggest problems I got is attitude. I can cop an attitude and I can't get rid of it. Come on, I need either somebody slam my hand in the door or kick me in the rear or wake me. Something's got to happen. I got an attitude I got to work out. Right? Mentality, man, to get out of my thinking. My wife's amen from the front row was like the bass drum. It's true. I'm just telling you, look at me. With God, nothing's impossible. He can work you out. He can work all that mess out. He can figure you out and straighten you out. He's come today to help you. He's come today to make you whole. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He can touch your heart when your heart's been broken, when your mind's messed up. He can touch you physically and heal you. He can heal cancer. He can heal heart disease. Listen to me. He can heal diabetes. He can heal. The Bible says that he healed some lepers one day. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. Leprosy was a disease. It's a terrible nerve disease, and there's still people with leprosy. But what happens is it eats away your fingers and your toes, your ears, your nose, your appendages until it eats your body up. And these people were full of that disease. And Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. And it says, while they were on their way, they were healed. Sometimes you got to get up and start praising the Lord and say, I'm on my way. He said, I'm going to be, he said, it's going to be all right. I think I'll just go ahead and believe that right now. He said, I'm going to get healed. I think it's going to be that way. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm exalting Jesus right now. I'm lifting Jesus up to you right now. I'm telling you there's nothing he can't do. I'm telling you he's here today in all of his power to do whatever it is you need done. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Okay, so I'm praising the Lord and I get off into this crazy wild faith and seeing God and forget I'm supposed to be the pastor and bring order to the service. And my mind has been on David. We're talking about the great stories of the Bible, the great stories, a person and a place and a principle that comes out of that story that goes on forever. David, King David, was chosen from a small family. He was the eighth son. He wasn't the firstborn. He wasn't the biggest, the tallest, the best looking. But he was chosen by God. You are chosen by God. God has his hand on your life. Everybody in this room can look back to situations and times and say, if it weren't for God right there, I'd been done. I'd have gone the wrong way. I'd have tripped up. I'd have been dead. I'd have been an addict, whatever. You know that's right, don't you? And as a matter of fact, if it hadn't been for God interrupting, you'd have continued down a wrong road. But it seemed like you ran smack into God one day and something happened and here you are this morning. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how you got here, but I know somehow God Almighty changed my course and brought me to this place where I love him. I worship him. I was religious. My parents were religious. I'm a preacher's son. I was full of religion and I was full of condemnation and fear. Somehow God saved me from religion, made me believe in him more than I believed in my works, more than my effort. I began to believe in his gift more than I believed in my trying. And something's happening to me. Well, this man David was born in the middle of what we would call the law. He was born when, if you didn't obey the law, how many verses did I give you today, Luann? 50? I'm sorry. Did I give you Hebrews 10, 28? Did I give you Hebrews 10? Can you give that to me then? Would you show everybody? He that despised Moses' law, somebody say, died without mercy. So if you didn't do the law, that doesn't mean you hate it, that you just didn't do what you're supposed to do. Show me 23, Psalm 23, 6, King James Version. How many of you know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd? I'm going to show you the great, inspires you and hope it helps you like it's helping me at this moment. I wrote some of these verses down and sent them back. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mercy. Somebody say mercy. So if you don't do the rules, if you don't keep the rules, you're going to die. And that without mercy. That's when David lived. And David broke the rules. I'm not proud of it. Sometimes I feel fun in my rebellion. I enjoyed being a late hippie. I enjoyed it, the freedom of that. But I just need to know how many of you have broken the rules. How many of you did it real slick and sly and you snuck around and broke them? How many of you broke them in front of everybody because you were trying to be cool? Drive too fast, drink too much, say stuff you shouldn't have said. Rule breakers in the house. House full of rule breakers. Somebody ought to say, put your hand up if you've broken the rules and say, thank God for his mercy. Because if you were under the law, you'd have died without mercy. Somehow, Romans chapter 4, 4 through 8, please. Romans chapter 4. Oh my God. I'm going somewhere. Listen to me. Listen carefully. If you love me, if you trust me, if you've been here before, I'm going somewhere. You got to stay with me right now. Romans chapter 4. 4 through 8. Now when a man works, when you do the right thing, when you do the law, when you work, he's talking about the works of righteousness here, doing the right thing. When a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, to the one who doesn't do it, didn't do the right thing. I haven't done the right thing. Matter of fact, I'm probably a little more did the wrong thing than I am did the right thing. Anybody in here that way? I don't know, maybe we've got some people that are like, you know, 70-30 people. Maybe some of you are 90-10. But I'm just maybe, I'm 49 good, 51 bad. So I didn't do the work, but I trust God who justifies the wicked. Are you with me? His faith is credited as righteousness. Verse 6, and now I'm getting to David. Somebody say David, because we're studying David. I'm not talking about righteousness. I'm not talking about works. I'm not even dealing right now with grace. I'm talking about a man named David. Said the same thing. What did he say? What's the same thing? That if you trust God, even though you're wicked, God will justify you. That's what David said. He said the same. Everybody say the same thing. When he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. So David is going to be the first one who says of Moses' law, if you can't keep the rules, but if you can trust God, he'll make all of this that you've done wrong right. He's the first one that somehow saw God bigger than sin, bigger than failure, bigger than secret wickedness. Come on, somebody. Secret wickedness, the secret struggles, the real you. Thank God. I believe he knows who I really am, and he loves me anyhow. That's a life-changing idea. That's a religious breaking, a Moses law breaking. That's a break free from all the fetters idea. That I believe he knows me. He knows the secret stuff. He knows my thoughts. And yet he loves me. Thank God. David said the same thing. He said, I figured something out. I broke the rules, but I do believe in God. And somehow that brought equality, that brought balance, that somehow fixed the situation. I was in trouble, and he loved me, and I believed it. And David said, thank God, there's a blessedness that comes to the man who God calls righteous apart from works. I know this messes up religious people, but listen to verse 7. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Come on, somebody, help me and say, thank God. Thank God. Who are you kidding? Thank God, because he covered my sin. He didn't kill me for it. He covered me. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord doesn't count against him. Well, thank God. Chad, thank God he didn't expose me. He could have, and our society and Western theology would have removed me from the ministry. But instead of exposing me, he covered me. Thank God, Lori, because you couldn't be accepted. Thank God, or Nate couldn't play. Because if we knew what he knows, we would disqualify one another. Thank God you're not God. Thank God I'm not God. Thank God he's God. And he said, I'll just cover your sin for you. And I won't count it against you. He's not counting your sins against you. Okay, here's what happened today, and I'm freaking. I'm just freaking. You guys, you're messing my mind. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there, and all of the truth of this understanding that David had blew my mind. Psalm 100, please. Did I give this to you? I don't even know you got it. Psalm 100. Oh, Jesus, Nate. Oh, Jesus, Nate. Oh, my God. David saw stuff that we're trying to grasp even now. Here's what happened. God gave Moses the law. I need a bigger Bible than this to represent the law. God gave Moses the law, and he held up this standard, and he said, this is the law, and this is what you're to obey, and if you do this, I'll bless you. And they were confused because they thought if they could possibly do all of that, they would be pleasing to God. It is evident in the New Testament, and if you know this, would you please say amen after this? In the New Testament, it is evident that God did not give them the law so they would keep the law, but he put the law in front of them so they would just see how wicked they are. That's what it says. He didn't do it so that they, thank you, David. He didn't do it so that they would become this David. He said, I did it so you would see how exceedingly wicked you are, that you need me. You're going to need grace. He didn't put this, listen to me, he didn't put this over here to be obeyed. If you miss that, if you miss the new covenant, if you miss why Jesus came, you will be screwed up in religion for the rest of your life. You will secretly continue to try to please God when what you need to do is believe in God, because you can't possibly keep the rules. He didn't make you capable. He made you less than capable. He formed you and made you weak. He made you so you could not do this. And he put this in front of you and said, do you see this? And now we say yes, and he says, I didn't do it so you'd keep it. I did it so you would see how much you need my grace. You gotta get that. Somehow, when Jesus came, when he spoke to the woman at the well, and he knew that she had five husbands, and he said, it's a good thing you said you're not married, because you've been married to five. The guy you're living with now is the sixth man. He was letting that woman know, I know you. I know your stuff, but I'm going to tell you who I am, and I'm going to love you even though I know you. I'm going to love you until you quit doubting me. I'm going to be faithful to you and let you struggle with your sin. I'm going to let you struggle with the law until you realize you can't do it, and you're going to say, if it weren't for God, if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be gone. Oh, my God. Did I tell you Psalm 100? Let me get back. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Oh, my God. Verse 4, Psalm 100, verse 4, do you have it? Enter his gates. Nate, this is so good. Listen, I'm going to say amen to myself. I'm going to say this is good preaching. Enter his gates. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. And praise his name. One more verse. One more verse, please. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I got this. I got this a half hour ago while we were singing, Lori. Because under the law, you're supposed to come into his gates with blood. You're supposed to come in with a sacrifice. You're supposed to bring at the very least a turtle dove, and at the most a ram or a bullock, an ox. But you're supposed to come into his presence with blood. If you don't have blood, don't come near. If you come without blood, you're going to die at the door. And so we have brought our sacrifices of blood because we've been under the law. Because somebody didn't set us free, I have brought my righteousness, I brought my sacrifice, I brought my tithes, I brought my offerings, I brought all my good works. And somehow David looked past that, Nate, and he said, no, you don't do that anymore. You're not coming in here anymore because of your sacrifice. Don't try to bring blood, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body he prepared. Come in here with faith in Jesus. Come in
in here saying, go back to verse 4, please. Come in back to verse 4. I'm going to come into his gates, not with blood, not with my righteousness, not with my sacrifice, not with all that I can give. I'm going to come in here with thanksgiving. I'm going to come in with praise. Hallelujah. Because I can't offer much of my own righteousness. I can't offer much of my own goodness. I've been secretly wicked. I have continued to fail, but I can't come in saying, I want to thank you. I just want to thank you, and I want to praise you and your plan, because I come into your presence, and somehow David was able to leap over all of the law, over all of his wickedness, over all of his failure, and say, I'm coming in with thanksgiving. And somehow God welcomes my thanks. He welcomes my praise. He didn't want the blood. He didn't want a ram. He didn't want a turtle dove. He wanted somebody that would recognize his goodness and say, for he's good, he's good, he's good, and his mercy endures forever. And I'm coming in today with thanks. Let's stand. That might take a while to preach. And you may not get it all right now, but that's okay. What's the tallest mountain in the world? Real loud, somebody you know.
Everest.
Mount Everest. Anybody know just about how tall it is? Remember? Anybody? 29,000 feet. Who's the main figure in the Bible? Jesus. Say Jesus. He's the tallest, highest. He's the most glorious. But the guy who is his granddaddy, David, does anybody know the second highest mountain on the planet? Anybody? It's Mount Goodwin. 28,250 feet. It's on the border of China and Pakistan. You say, what's that got to do with anything? When you see what David figured out about Jesus, you will realize that the anointing that flowed from God through Jesus Christ to set you free, you are no longer condemned, you are no longer who you were. You are a child of God, and from that high peak rolls down this anointing. Yeah. And if you will study and think about David and just read, I'll put this on the CD for people who purchase this or listen to it on the computer. If you will read Psalm 23, Psalm 30, verse 4 and 5, Psalm 36, verse 5 through 8, Psalm 37, verse 4, Psalm 37, verse 25, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, Psalm 51, Psalm 66, 8 through 12, Psalm 68, verse 20, Psalm 69, verse 17, and then especially read Psalm 100, you'll realize that that truth, that glorious, bright truth that is Jesus Christ, somehow fell on David first. Somehow that anointing fell on David. He's not the highest peak, he's the second highest. He had a revelation that when Moses would have killed you, he said, goodness and mercy, follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. I'm saved. I am eternally secure. I am... No, I think I'll wait a minute so that settles on the tape. Because it's not what I did or didn't do. It's about him. and I don't bring blood sacrifice, and I can't pay enough. I can't pay him enough. But if I believe him, he won't count my sins against him. So I come in saying, thank you. Praise the name of the living God. Glory to the Lord God of heaven. Because I am free from all of my wickedness. I'm free from the restraint by the chains of my own thinking. I'm free.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.